We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. This show goes like, whew, I mean, from Huntsville all the way back on to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, that's just the radio audience too, by the way. We love all of y'all that go out there on the in the big wide world, go into the World Wide Web and pick us up live streaming every single day on YouTube, Facebook, X, Rumble, our website, rightsidemedia.org, and then all y'all podcasters that catch it after the fact. Love every one of you. Thank you so much for making this worth doing. Scott from Russellville checking in. He says, great monologue as usual. I've already forwarded it to several people to read. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Well, you bring up a great point. Thank you, Scott, for reminding me. I always forget to say this, but if you guys hear me rattling paper, like when I'm sitting here reading, all the resources and the daily monologue are all available on our website. You can go to rightsidemedia.org. What's the tab called? The shows tab or the live tab? You go to the live stream, and right below the image of the live stream, you're going to see all of the different resources, the links to every story that I've got, and the monologue every single day in writing. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. John from Harvest says, Phil, nice monologue. Have you seen J.D. Vance having fun trolling Democrats? It's like an easy layup right now. He said, after the Muslim communist Zohran Mandami won the Democrat primary for New York City mayor, J.D. Vance posted on Blue Sky congratulating Mandami as the new leader of the Democrat Party. No doubt. They're embracing him, though, aren't they? Unbelievable. We'll talk about that guy more in the show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's unbelievable.
The things he stands for.
Mm-hmm, like pure socialism, like to a T.
Even beyond socialism, it's like he's ready for anarchy. Defund the police.
I saw something like queer feminism means defund the police was one of his tweets from 2020.
Whatever, man. What a chucklehead. And he wants to be the mayor of one of the biggest, best cities in the world. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that Andrew Cuomo lost? Yes, we did. There we are. Lost the Democrat primary for New York City mayor to a 33-year-old socialist Muslim named Zohran Mandami. By the way, Zohran Mandami has got zero life experience qualifying him to be the mayor of a multi-billion-dollar city. None. Talk about a debacle. We'll talk about this more in a minute, but that's about to be a self-inflicted wound. Listen, democracy is what it is. This is one of those times where I find myself thinking, somebody stop it. But you know what? The reality is democracy is what it is. We cannot, this guy can, listen, I'm not a big fan of Eric Adams, but right now he's like the saving grace for New York City. Anyway, JT Lacey Springs says, who lives on the corner? I'm talking about my monologue. It says a cousin who lived a mile away until his death. And I most did not know he designed and built the arm which gathered the first lunar sample. Wow. See, how cool is that? You just never know, man. The stories, the people who have a connection to some piece of history like that. Matt from Madison says, Henry David Thoreau said, the mass of men lead lives of quiet dignity. It's true. And then David from Huntsville says, Phil, love the stories on neighbors, heroes, and your dad and granddad. Thanks, David. Appreciate you, man. So I got to tell you this. There's a gentleman who I thought the world of. He passed away in 2017. He was a former congressman, Jim Martin, from Gadsden. And Jim Martin was an amazing man. Jim Martin was a Republican before it was ever cool to be a Republican in Alabama. He was what's known as a Goldwater Republican back in the era in which, you know, Ronald Reagan gave the speech at the conference, which was seemed to have been what helped propel Goldwater to the Republican nomination. Jim Martin was a congressman from Northeast Alabama who ran for the U.S. Senate. Didn't make it, but still went on to do great things for our state, was a very successful businessman. He was also a World War II veteran. I got a call one day. Talk about people you don't even realize are down the street. I already knew Jim. I considered him to be somewhat of a mentor in politics. When I first wanted to go into politics, I asked Jim if we'd go to lunch one day, and I picked his brain a bit, and he gave me some advice. I actually still have a video of him doing an endorsement for me. Anyway, I got a call one day when I was a state senator, sitting in my law firm, and the lady said that she was from the Library of Congress and that they were working to gather the oral histories of World War II veterans before they all passed away. And they understood that Jim Martin lived in Gadsden in what I consider being the moderator for his oral history. That took me like half a second. I said, absolutely. What does that mean? What do I do? I said, well, we're going to arrange a time. We'll have a court reporter sitting there taking down and transcribing everything they say. And you just kind of help the conversation go along because some of them may not be as, you know, eloquent or able to speak or may have a little trouble telling their stories. And I said, absolutely, but I can tell you right now, Jim won't. That man could speak. He died. He was 99 years old when he passed away, just a few weeks before his 100th birthday. And every time he spoke, I mean, it wasn't until he was about 98 and a half before he finally began to look his age. I mean, he was amazingly, I mean, he drove himself to breakfast, you know, with the Republican Party when he was 90-something. And he would lead us in singing God Bless America every time. And so I sat down with Jim, and pretty much all I had to do was say, well, Jim, I understand you went to the war. Well, Phil, let me tell you. And he began to just unfold stories that I wouldn't take anything for that. It took 2.5 hours. That court reporter was worn out when we got done. But Jim Martin was one of the very first officers in the United States Army to locate a concentration camp, open the gates himself, and walk through and find Jews who had been incarcerated. And to his deathbed, he was angry at what he saw. And he actually led Eisenhower on a tour the next day through the camp that they had found. It's an amazing story of being the first American to find a concentration camp like that. You never know who's living down the street from you. You just never know. Anyway, Jack from Huntsville says, happy hump day. Colonel and JP, terrific monologue. Favorite line of the day, AOC and Crockett are complaining that they were given no intelligence. Is that a thing by God or a thing by like their time in Congress? No intelligence. It fits.
It does. I guess they're mad. So I guess it's where everybody else gets their intelligence.
Very, very apropos. yeah, let that sink in for a second. All right, let's jump on into the topic at hand. All right, self-inflicted wounds. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that right now they say that one of the greatest sources of national insecurity may be the fact that we have any number of unvetted illegal aliens in the country, some of whom are from Iran, who may have come here with evil intent, not just to commit a crime, but come here for acts of terror. And so you've got the resources of the Department of Homeland Security, the resources of the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, ICE, and local law enforcement all being dedicated to these roundups. They've rounded up 17 Iranian illegals in the last 24 to 48 hours. Now, 17 may not sound like a much, but keep in mind, if I'm not mistaken, the 9/11 hijackers were 11. So it doesn't take a lot. And what they're also finding is that some of these guys who they've tracked down have true terror ties or ties to the Iranian government or ties to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps even. Now, I listen, don't think, okay, who'd they find out there in Chicago? Who did they find over there in New York City? Where do the sanctuary cities keep these people? Nope. How about this one? 1819 News. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. ICE arrests an Iranian sniper with an Islamic Republic of Iran Army identification card in his pocket in North Alabama. Kid you not. Yep, the guy's name is Ribar Karimi. We mentioned him briefly on the show yesterday. They arrested him in Blount County, which is just, I mean, I'm talking 20, 30 minutes away from where I'm sitting right now. Blount County, a little community called Locust Fork. There he was. Karimi reportedly served in the Iranian Army as a sniper from 2018 to 2021. At the time of his arrest, he was in possession of an Islamic Republic of Iran Army identification card. Now, here's the thing. Ribvar Karimi, if you read this report, says, hey, be aware, the guy's status was still slated as illegal because he had not done the paperwork he was supposed to do to finish up his visa application. He came here on a K-1 visa. He was engaged to be married. JP had his picture up on the screen there momentarily. But this guy, Karimi, never adjusted his status, which put him into an immediate red flag status with DHS, and they rounded him up. Are you hearing that story in the mainstream media right now? No. 1819 got the story right, but AL.com. Phil, did you go to AL.com? I did. AL.com just wants you to know, he's just a loving man who came here to marry the love of his life. They met online, and they're married, and it's sweet, and he's about to have a baby, and all that may be true. Maybe he just didn't fill out the last piece of paper. His wife is saying, who's an American citizen, his wife is saying that they didn't realize there was one more piece of paper they had to do. And if that's the case, then suspect he'll be home sometime soon. But here's the thing. He's an Iranian sniper living in Locust Fork, Alabama, who apparently met his wife while he was playing Call of Duty online. I kid you not.
JP, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. I read the AL.com article. They met while you know, what do you guys call it when you guys, what do you young whippersnappers call it when y'all get together online and play games?
Oh, like game chat, whatever.
Thank you. They were game chatting. And apparently it led to love. I'm mocking it, I know. But that just feels really weird to me. He's in Iran. He's playing Call of Duty, which, by the way, is where you shoot things. And he meets the love of his life, who's a very attractive, you know, seems like a very nice young lady who works at UAB, of all places, and lives in Locust Fork, Alabama. And he moved here because they got engaged long distance after FaceTiming together for a lot.
I wonder if this is a 90-day fiancé situation.
I don't know, man. All I know is they just arrested one of the... Of the 17 they've arrested, one of them lived 20 minutes from me.
Like, this isn't just some random, hey, you're Iranian? Get out. It's a, oh, you're a sniper with a identification card.
In your pocket.
Literally in the Iranian military.
Yep. There he is. Now, it continues. Do not think they are just out there in faraway places. How about this one? There's another one named Yusuf Maradeno. Yusuf Maradeno was arrested in Madison County, Mississippi. Not Madison County, Alabama, but Madison County, Mississippi. Who is this guy? Well, the U.S. government terminated his residency back in October of 2017 when they found out he lied on his visa application. He committed potential marriage fraud. He was also a known or suspected terrorist. Oh, really? Yes, indeed. In fact, I've got in one of my articles here that this guy was here and had ties to, was he the one with Hezbollah? There's one of them that has ties to Hezbollah, and I think it might be that guy. Sitting over there in a small town in Mississippi. Okay, small town Alabama. Okay, small town Mississippi. What the heck? Maybe small towns are just easy targets. I don't know. All I know is we are seeing these guys being arrested, and they are here. They are here, and they are among us. This is a potential self-inflicted wound. This is something that I believe the Biden administration caused. So, yeah, there you go. More on this when we get back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I'm in this number one of the triple dippers, self-inflicted wounds. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, if we're saying that one of the biggest biggest issues related to national security, some might say national insecurity, is the potential for terrorist sleeper cells being in the United States, you got to ask, okay, how'd they get here? Well, they got here because it was a freaking self-inflicted wound. They got here because the Biden administration just left the door wide open. We have no idea who some of the 2 million plus gotaways were. All we know is there are any number of people, 2 million of them, who ran across the border and could be seen from a distance, but they got away. And so they're listed, that's the official name, they're gotaways. They're gotaways, and we don't know who they were. Well, right now, we are seeing some that the Biden administration either ignored or let in that we're having to round up. I just mentioned a minute ago about the one who was arrested in Locust Fork, Alabama, who used to be an Iranian sniper. I don't know what the status is. He may wind up turning out to be a great guy. But then there's the guy from Madison County, Mississippi. Madison County, Mississippi, a little town called Gluckstadt. Gluckstadt, Mississippi, Yusuf Maradeno, known to be on the terror watch list. His visa was terminated in 2017. He just didn't leave. How about this one? I got a whole list here. Fox News has a list of these as they begin rounding them up. 45-year-old Mohammed Hassanpour was arrested by officers in Baltimore. Previously criminally convicted of assault with a deadly weapon or force likely to produce great bodily injury. Also battery and stalking. Great. Kaveh Abedi, arrested in Chicago on Monday for violations of the Immigration Nationality Act, had a 2001 conviction for selling cocaine. Arish Rustami, was arrested, had a prior sex offense. Abdul Mohammed Ragabezada was taken into custody on Monday also. He's had deportation orders since 2005 that he's been escaping. He also had charges for domestic violence, vandalism, intimidation. Then you got Sahand Yosef Ranasbadi, Fort Worth, Texas, aggravated sexual assault of a child. And then you got this one. The guy they just arrested in Minnesota, Mehran Makari Saheli, arrested by ICE in Minnesota, has admitted connections to Hezbollah and is a former member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is the Ayatollah Khomeini's special, you know, basically their SS troops. So of the 1,500 Iranian nationals that came into the country illegally, 729 were released into the United States, and we're just trying to track them down now. It's unbelievable. Tom Homan, our border czar, who's doing an amazing job, by the way. Where's that guy's medal? Just saying. Trump border czar Tom Homan has warned, according to WokeSpy.com, that the biggest national security vulnerability this country has ever seen comes from the Biden-era gotaways. He said federal officials do not have a full accounting of all the people from Iran who illegally cross the border. He says that he warns that the potential for Iranian sleeper cells after President Trump struck the Tehran nuclear facilities is greatly increased. Okay, all this is happening, like, right now, like, currently, as we speak. And this is a self-inflicted wound. And they're tracking on it. I mean, they were tracking on it before the election. What's maddening is it's not just a self-inflicted wound like, well, you know, Biden was just Biden. They just did what they did. They had a different way of doing things. It just wasn't working out real good. No, they knew exactly what was happening. I've got a piece here from the House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Counterterrorism. A report that was put out in September of last year, before the election, September of last year, Chairman August Pfluger, who's a Republican from Texas, he said the former chief patrol agent for the Border Patrol's San Diego sector told him that he was prevented from talking about the increase in illegal crossings. And this is his quote. The chief, Aaron Heike, testified to the committee, I was told that I could not release any information on the increase in crossings of special interest aliens or mention any of their arrests. By the way, special interest aliens means people who are flagged for specific purposes to include the terror watch list. He said, I was told I could not release any information on this increase in special interest aliens or mention any of the arrests. The administration was trying to convince the public there was no threat at the border. That's the chief of the Border Patrol in San Diego last year when the Biden administration was still in office. Experts estimate that nearly 2 million individuals have evaded arrest and become gotaways. The most glaring statistic is that 382 individuals were known to be on the terror watch list, stopped trying to cross the United States-Mexico border. And you have to wonder how many of the 2 million gotaways were also on the terror watch list. There were reports that DHS refused to participate in the hearings being held during the Biden administration. They did not want to talk about it. And you got to ask, why would that be? Oh, well, you know, it was purely partisan. There was just Republicans calling us in. Well, yeah. Guess what? It's called oversight. And it was also right before an election, and you didn't want to deal with the truth. Now, listen, there's more to this. When I get back, I'll tell you a little bit more about what I call this self-inflicted wound, and it deals with New York City. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. Where'd the first hour go? Holy smokes. Anyway, hour number two on a hump day. We're going to move you on through to go home time, all the way to go home time on a Friday. How about that? I'm in number one of the triple dipper. I'm talking about what I'm referring to as self-inflicted wounds. So as we are right now seeking to deal with a matter of national security, which is the potential for sleeper cells in the United States, it's a real thing. We don't know if they're here, but we cannot help but imagine that they are. In fact, why would we not imagine that they are? When you have millions of gotaways coming across, when you've got hundreds that you know were on the terror watch list who were interdicted at the border trying to come in illegally. You can't help but think, well, there's got to be a bunch more. If the 2 million gotaways that we don't know anything about are out there, how many of those were potentially on the terror watch list? 17 Iranian nationals have now been arrested in the last 48 hours as DHS goes on a sweep trying to catch these guys and scoop them up around the nation. But I'll tell you, too, the self-inflicted wound of allowing this to happen is not just about those illegals. Sometimes it's about, too, what American elected officials did and are still doing that is absolutely antithetical to the idea of national security. Take, for instance, what we're looking at right now is ICE is the one out there rounding up these people, right? ICE, Customs and Border Patrol, the Department of Homeland Security, tying in with state and local law enforcement when they can. I say when they can because not every state will even allow that to happen. But they're trying to round up these guys. They got one guy who was a former Iranian sniper living in Locust Fork, Alabama. They got another guy on the terror watch list out of Mississippi. They got another guy up in Minnesota who was a member of the Iranian Republican Guard Corps and had Hezbollah ties. And so ICE and DHS and all are doing their piece, right? Trying to gather these people up. And yet, there are communities where they are standing in the way. The self-inflicted wound is not just what the illegals are trying to do. The self-inflicted wound that could potentially happen also involves liberal progressives in the United States who are flexing to try and stop the roundup from even occurring. I don't have it in front of me, but I just saw a little while ago about the vice mayor. What's a vice mayor? I guess she's the assistant mayor, the second in line, the vice president, I guess. The vice mayor for Los Angeles calling on gangs to organize and intervene where ICE is trying to do roundups. Like, what? What is your deal, lady? So you're asking the illegal gangs to help the illegal aliens be safe from the law enforcement, and you're using the weight of your office to call for it. If that's not part of a self-inflicted wound, I don't know what is. But then there's this one. I mentioned to you last week about a group in LA called CHRLA, the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, CHRLA. CHRLA is a far-left organization. CHRLA, piece here on Daily Wire, is now being investigated by House Judiciary Committee because it appears they've been using public funds to help instigate the impediments to ICE roundups and organizing riots on the streets with U.S. tax dollars. They got $34 million from the state of California. What? Yes. CHRLA got $34 million from the state of California, public funds, and they began using them to coordinate protests and also to send out legal observers and also to, oh, by the way, help dox ICE agents. Left-wing activists in Los Angeles have raised money to purchase and distribute helmets, respirators, and other items used on the quote-unquote front lines of the riots against police officers, and a local branch of the Democrat Party even distributed the addresses of hotels that were housing ICE agents and organized protests at businesses demanding they refuse to provide federal law enforcement agents with rooms. We don't want you sleeping in our city! Okay, that's a self-inflicted wound. Now, one of the most disturbing things I've seen that has a potential to become part of the self-inflicted wound is the guy that just appears to have gotten the Democrat nomination for mayor in New York City. Holy smokes. JP, how does this happen?
I wish I could tell you.
You got to say more than that, man.
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, it's unfortunate.
I don't know if y'all are watching this, but why do I care? Why, Phil, why are you talking about New York City? Well, because it's the crossroads of the world. It's the Big Apple. Remember New York City? 9/11? Remember that? 9/11. There's still a hole in the ground. 9/11. If you've ever been to the 9/11 Memorial, it is one of the most moving and awe-inspiring memorials I've ever been to. But Zohran Mamdani, a self-declared socialist Democrat. It gets worse. A self-declared socialist Democrat who has appeared to defend the slogan Globalize the Intifada. He just got elected to the Democrat nomination for mayor of New York City. He's a progressive New York State assemblyman, meaning that he's been, you know, in like the state legislature. And this guy is not just a little bit of a radical. Here's some things that he has said on his social media. I've got it right in front of me. Zoran Kwame Mamdani says, queer liberation means to defund the police. He also says, we need mayors and governors of deep blue cities and states collaborating with the violent right-wing government to enforce curfews and round up protesters and run them down in the streets. Defund the NYPD, he says. How about another one where he says, we got to wait and see if our lead holds in the race. But to be leading even amidst a global pandemic makes it clear another world really possible. Together we can tax the rich, heal the sick, house the poor, defund the police, and build a socialist New York. He also, by the way, appears to have said, brace yourself, as mayor of potential mayor of New York City, that he understands why 9/11 happened. He's anti-Semitic. I've got a piece right here. Pulled this from New York Post. He used to be a rapper, JP. You ever heard of him?
Oh, no, but I've seen his rap videos. They're pretty weird.
He was a C-list rapper is what I hear. C-list. Like, maybe he performed at weddings. I don't know.
His own events, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Backyard barbecues. Mm-hmm. Yeah, rapper extraordinaire. Yeah, New York Post says the former C-list rapper turned far-left politician has praised the heads of the Holy Land Foundation. The Holy Land Foundation, known as the Holy Land Five. Who are we talking about? Well, these are guys like Shukri Abu Bakr, Muhammad El-Mazin, Ghassan El-Ashi, Mufid Abu Dakar, Qadr, and Abdul Rahman Odeh, all convicted in 2008 for funding Hamas. And yet, he praises them. Praises them. He says, my love to the Holy Land Five. Look them up. Mamdani. Listen, this guy, self-inflicted wound. How do we get to where we are right now? JP, you got that audio clip? Listen, I'm going to pull up an audio clip. This is what happens when you vote for chuckleheads like this. This is how chuckleheads get voted in. What we understand right now is when you look at a breakdown of the vote, even the poorest among the Democrat base in New York City voted against him. It was the rich elites that voted for him. Here's one young lady being interviewed on townhall.com on the streets of New York City about whether she voted for Mamdani and why. Play it.
I voted for Mamdani.
Okay, can you tell us why?
I'm just looking for someone new and not part of the established Democratic Party who also hasn't been accused of sexual assault.
I spoke to the other side a little bit, and they're concerned about like the government-run grocery stores and the free buses. What's your response
totally.
To that?
I think government in the U.S. is great in the sense that there's always balance, right? Like, no one person is making all the decisions, and so I think there'll be balance within.
He describes himself as a Democrat socialist. Like, do you feel like socialism would work in New York City?
No, not necessarily.
Socialism wouldn't work here, but I voted for him.
Yeah.
I was like, I needed somebody different, fresh.
Socialism doesn't work, but I did vote for the socialists, yeah.
What's that thing with talking through the nose and doing the tone inflection like that?
Talking like this, like, because, like, I don't know, but I know that it's very annoying, and I hate listening to it.
That is your generation, dude.
Yeah. But I do think that is part of the reason. Like, I think they just had Cuomo fatigue. And unfortunately, I think they saw him and go, ooh, this is a new guy.
Yeah.
He seems like fun. Yeah, he's young. Whatever. And unfortunately, I'm worried about Eric Adams. You know, he's our last hope for New York right now. And I wonder if they're going to be like, oh, well, you know, this guy's a new guy. And Adams is running as an independent, which they probably deem him as a far right nationalist because he's an independent.
There was at one point, at least Stefanik was talking about running as a Republican mayor of New York City. But I think she's decided not to do it. Did the Republicans even have a primary? I assume they did.
Maybe.
Don't know.
It doesn't even. A Republican's not going to win in New York. So
I never thought that I would see the day that I'd be for Eric Adams.
Well, Eric Adams is like an old school Democrat, you know. Disagree on policies, but all the way, like the wacky stuff, he's not for. So we'll see.
Well, he got wackier until wacky didn't work because during the wave of illegal immigration. He's the first one who came out and called out his own party. And they some say that's why he faced all kinds of lawfare backlash, because he dared to. By the way, D.A. Alvin Bragg also got reelected last night.
Oh, great.
Yes, wonderful. All right, listen, self-inflicted wounds, they come from a variety of ways. They come from the borders being left open. They come from the laws on immigration not being enforced. They come from having a government in place, Biden administration, that could care less about national security. And then they come from self-inflicted wounds like politicians who use sanctuary status and liberal progressive ideology to basically make our streets less safe and try to impede the ability of the current administration to round up potential terror suspects. Okay, sound like a self-inflicted wound to me. In the meantime, what we're trying to do is make sure it does not become an actual wound. Let's hope they get them all before it's too late. We're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. We'll be right back.